So today we're reading from Matthew, text 295 to 300. So I'll read the first verses by myself. Sri Chandramahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai worked like miners, excavating all kinds of valuable metals, each one better than the other. Their questions and answers are exactly like that. The next day, Sri Chandramahaprabhu begged Ramananda Rai to give him permission to leave, and at the same time of farewell, the Lord gave him the following orders. Sri Chandramahaprabhu told him, give up all material engagements and come to Jagannath Puri. I will return there very soon after finishing my tour and pilgrimage. The two of us shall remain together at Jagannath Puri and happily pass our time discussing Krishna. Sri Chandramahaprabhu then embraced Sri Ramananda Rai, and after sending him back to his home, the Lord took rest. So please do. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divineness Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada,
Jai!
After rising from bed the next morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the local temple where there was a deity of Hanuman. After offering him obeisances, the Lord departed for South India. Prabhupada. In almost all the cities and towns of India, there are temples of Hanumanji, the eternal servant of Lord Ramachandra. There is even a temple of Hanuman near Govindaji Temple in Vrindavan. Formerly, this temple was in front of the Gopalji Temple, but the Gopalji deity went to Orissa to remain as Shakshi Gopal. Being the eternal servant of Lord Ramachandra, Hanumanji has been respectfully worshipped for many hundreds and thousands of years. Here even Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set the example in showing how one should offer respects to Hanumanji. Pratakayuti Prabhu Bhakti Hanuman, Omri Namaskari Prabhu Dakshini Kodaya. After rising from bed the next morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the local temple where there was the deity of Hanuman. After offering him obeisances, the Lord departed for South India. Om Jnana Timurandasya Vinandana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Nama Shri Chaitanya Rodhisham Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swami Rupa Ramayam Nadati Swaradam Yam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Vakaraman Shri Guru Vaishnavam Dad. I had to do the school run, so I had an excuse. So I slept. Please excuse me. Actually, today I'm going to talk about a narration from Rajananda. There's actually going to be all to mention in the purport. And actually, Lord Chaitanya heard the story of Shakti Gopal from Lord Chaitanya. It's a wonderful story. It's actually in Majjhavita chapter 5. So anyone's been here at Background to Mana for long enough, you may recall that we went through chapter 5 in Majjhavita. We're now in chapter 8. It's a wonderful story. But before I do that, I'll just tie in some recent. So it's quite significant that Lord Chaitanya is telling Ramananda Roy, giving him the order to go to Jagannath Puri. Jagannath Puri is known as Vipralamba Kshetra, which means the place where the Buddhas of separation. And Mahaprabhu, he resided in Jagannath Puri for the final part of his lila, his ancient lila. And there's a particular reason for this that Madhavananda Puri has explained. And it goes as follows. In order to repay the debt of the gopis, Krishna had to love the gopis in the same way that the gopis love Krishna. You see, Krishna, he's Akila Rasamutamoti. He's loving everyone. He's loving the cowherd boys. He's loving some of them in Dasharas, like Raptapatra. He's loving some of them in Sakyaras, like Subhav, Shiram, etc. And he's worshipping his parents in Vatsalya, and he's worshipping. He's loving the gopis in Konjuga Rasa. But the gopis, they're only doing one thing. They're worshipping Krishna in Konjuga Rasa. So that's an imbalance, you see. Krishna, he's as many loves, different types. Whereas the gopis, they're one pointed on, fixed on Krishna in Konjuga Rasa. So in order to repay that debt, Lord Krishna has become his Lord Chaitanya. Nehi Radha Baba Jyoti Subhavitana Ani Krishna Sarupa. He takes the mood and the complexion of Srimati Radharani, and he can then love Krishna one-pointedly, just like the gopis worshipped Krishna one-pointedly. See? This is the opportunity for Lord Chaitanya to forget, shall we say, his other relationships and become completely fixed in his gopi bhava. So the question is, why did he do it in Jagannath Puri? Now the answer is this. He couldn't do it in Navadvip because his parents are there, he has other friends, he has gurus, there's so many other connections. So that he's distracted, he can't just focus completely on the gopis, or the mood of the gopis. He can't do it in Vrindavan. Why? Because the effect of Vrindavan makes him become more like Krishna again. He said, Madhavananda Guru says, when Lord Chaitanya went to Vrindavan, he started turning blue. The effect of Vrindavan on his consciousness. So he went to Jagannath Puri. And all these places are all identical. Navadvip, Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri, they're all essentially the same place. So by being in Jagannath Puri, he was away from his other relationships, cowherd boys, or like the parents, etc., all the other rasas that are going on. And he can focus completely on being in the mood of Radharani. So that's why this place, Jagannath Puri, is known as Vipralamba Kshetra. And what's very significant is, Ramananda Roy, he's one of the special devotees that had access to the inner mood of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya shared that inner mood. He said there are 3.5 persons that Lord Chaitanya would discuss very intimate topics with. Who are these 3.5? Yes. Sorry? Swarup Damodar, yes. Yes. Shiki Mahiti, yes, that's three. And he's the half. Sister, who's known as Madhavi, yes. So these 3.5, it said, they were special persons that Lord Chaitanya discussed very, very high topics with. It is said that Mahaprabhu, for the people in general, it was Nam Sankirtan. He spread the Yuga Dharma. For the Vedantists, particularly the Mayavada Vedantists, he spoke Vedanta Sutra with them. They were the intellectual elite at the time, so he discussed Vedanta Sutra, he converted them. But then, to discuss deep rasa, only a few people, and he chose these three people. So when we read about Ramananda Roy being sent to Jagannath Puri, then that is his good fortune that he's now going to later on be reunited with Lord Chaitanya and then go into the very deep topics, which is the final part of the Leela. Because Lord Chaitanya, he spread the holy name. Of course, he travelled through pilgrimage to South India, spread the Yuga Dharma. But then, final part of the Leela was he wanted to go so deep into the Radha Bhava. And so he wound up the pastime of propagation, because everyone was a leader already, and he spent the final years in madness, transcendental madness. So that's the significance there. So it's interesting that in the purport, Prabhupada's talking about here even Lord Chaitanya who set the example of showing how one should offer respects to Hanuman. So let us talk about demigod worship. So the Bhagavad Gita says, Kamas Taistai Ritajiva, Prabhadanti Nagirata, Tam Tamina Masaya, Prakritan Nagirasvaya. Those whose desires have been stolen by illusion, they worship the demigods according to their own particular nature. So it's said that demigod worship is not for intelligent people. So people who have too many material desires, and they approach the demigods in order to fulfill those material desires. So this is foolishness, because Anya Vilashita Shimyam, Jana Karma Majinavitam, Anukamina Krishnanam, Shimyam, Bhakti Kumar. Topmost social service means no jnana, no karma, no fruit of activity, no mental speculation, just pure devotional service. So we're very clear on this point. So then what is the purpose of Lord Chaitanya setting an example of offering respects to Hanuman? Anyone like to offer an opinion? Yes, thank you, Sam.
So while demigod worship is considered vulnerable very much by himself, to be
not quite vulnerable
for material purposes. However, for spiritual purposes, it is bona fide. However, for spiritual purposes, it is bona fide, because the demigods are more than happy to offer their blessings for one to advance in Krishna consciousness. Because even the gopis, they worship Goddess Kartikeyani for Krishna, not for material gain, but for Krishna have their husband. So demigod worship is fine if it's for them to help them advance in Krishna consciousness. So it's cheap, it's not like it's completely wrong.
Yes, if we study Prabhupada's statements on demigod worship, he's speaking against it most of the time. Then he says, but you can do it, because you do it in connection with Krishna. If you see the demigods as part and parcel of Krishna, then you can do so. And the Brahma Samhita, it has verses in praise of Govinda Mahi Purusham, who is worshipped by Brahma, by Surya, by Ganesh, by Shiva. You'll find all these demigods are mentioned in the Brahma Samhita. And we should understand they're all servants of Krishna. Therefore, if we worship demigods in that mood as servants of Krishna, then that is fine. But it's not part of our practice. I remember maybe 20 years ago, the assistant minister for deity worship, at the time it was Prasanna Kavacha, who's now the minister of deity worship, he contacted me. He said, I'm travelling around America, and I've noticed in quite a lot of ISKCON temples there are little motifs of demigods, like Ganesh and Shiva, etc. He said, can you research this on the database? So I did, and then he sent it back a file. And it was kind of very clear about what Prabhupada was saying. He said, that's good, that's clarified that. So he was telling the temples, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be putting the motifs of Ganesh on the altar in the ISKCON temples. It's not what we do. But there's a difference between worship and respect. Mahaprabhu here, he's given respect. So Prabhupada explains, you can disrespect an important person or a demigod and be considered discourteous. But if you neglect to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you'll be thoroughly condemned. So respect for demigods is his culture, and it's something that we should do. And there's an interesting pastime where Prabhupada in India, he went to visit the Durga temple, and he instructed his disciples, do what I do. This is reported by Rebati Nandana Prabhu. So what Prabhupada did, when he entered the temple, he bowed down before Durga, but he had Durga on his right hand side. Normally when we bow down, the deity is on the left hand side. So the idea is, Durga is on our right, the spiritual master is in front of us, and Krishna is on our left. When you offer obeisances to the demigod, you offer with the demigod on the right hand side, and effectively you are offering obeisances to Krishna on the left hand side. You see? That way, that is the proper way to respect the demigods, and to do it in such a way that it is in line with the pure devotional service, which means only to Krishna. Worship is only for Krishna. There's only one God. Ekadeshvara Krishna, Asara Richa. That is the, you know, that's the way to do it. And so it's Lord Chaitanya's example. And it's interesting that Prabhupada uses the term even. There is even a temple of Hanuman near Govindaji temple in Vrindavan. So what do you think Prabhupada means when he says even Hanuman temple in Vrindavan? What do you think he's meaning? Yes? Yes, Vrindavan is a mood of Krishna. Vrindavan is the highest boat. It says, Ramya Kacha to pass an after another day, Abhu, Bargina, and Akhokita. Lord Chaitanya, he came to teach that the love of the gopis is the highest. So when we talk about Hanuman temple in Vrindavan, we're thinking, well, the love of the gopis is highest, love of worship of Krishna is our process. So why would there be a Hanuman temple in Vrindavan? That's an interesting point. And then it reminds me of Srihan Tiger Tabata by Sanatana Goswami. So that it's a beautiful literature. The first part is a journey of Narad Muni. He's looking for the highest devotee. And he goes through so many different devotees. There's a beautiful a Brahmin, very pious Brahmin, who's worshipping Krishna and Pariyai. And then the Brahmin sends him to a king who has even more opulence, who can worship Krishna in a greater way. The king sends him to the demigods, like Gauranga, to Brahma, and then to the residence of Vaikuntha. But instead of going to the residence of Vaikuntha, he went to Prahlad. Why go to Prahlad? What's so special about Prahlad? Look at the highest devotee. And rather than go to Vaikuntha, he goes to Prahlad. Why would he do that? Well, think of the pastime and after Narasimha was killed in Ranjikashipu. Narasimha is very, very angry. How do we know from that pastime that Prahlad is very, very dear to the Lord?
He passed,
yes. Not even Sri, the wife of Lord Narasimha, could go near Lord Narasimha in that mood. She'd never seen that form before. She frightened. But Prahlad approached, and Lord Narasimha, he said that he was licking from her hand out of love. So that means Prahlad is considered to be the greatest devotee by many people. So when Narad Muni went to Prahlad, Prahlad dismissed this. Not the greatest devotee. You know, Lord Narasimhadev, as soon as he killed Hiranyakashipu, he took him on his lap, and then he left, and I've been in separation ever since. I don't even have a chance to see him. The process I worship in is smarana. Smarana means remembering. Prahlada smarani. Prahlad became perfect through remembering. He wasn't actively engaged in service. So what did Prahlad do? He sent Narad Muni to Hanuman. But why? Because Hanuman is always engaged in service. The Ramayana is full of Lord Hanuman's service to Lord Ram. And Prahlad's thinking, I never got the chance to do that service. I was only remembering. So Narad Muni went to Hanuman. And Hanuman being humble, he rejected that he was the highest devotee. And we'll think what the reasons are, right? Vishri Radha Gopinam Ki Jai. Vishri Siddharam Lashman Hanuman Ki Jai. Vishri Gopinam Ki Jai. So I will read to you what Hanuman said after Narad Muni left and praises him for being the greatest devotee. Hanuman said, O best of sages, why are you doing this to such a wretch, the boy of the lotus feet of Sriman Ramachandra? Why do you make me cry by reminding me of how the Lord has neglected me? If I am really the Lord's servant, then why did he forcibly abandon me when he took with him to his spiritual kingdom his dear devotees, including Sugriva and all the residents of Kosala? So it said that Hanuman, he's blessed, he's a Chiranjeevi, blessed with eternal life. So he didn't go to Ayodhya, and Lord Ramachandra wound up his pastimes. But it's said that wherever the Ramayana is being recited, Hanuman is present. So actually, he appears as separation. He's in separation from Lord Krishna, but there's no difference between Ram Katan and Ram himself. So Hanuman, his whole, what inspires him is to hear Ram Katan. So he's eternally in this planet, living, hearing Ram Katan. So I'll carry on what he said. You are very kind to me, because I have had the good fortune to engage in his service. You conclude that the Lord has given me his favour. But now, he has descended to Mathura Puri, where he displays the summit of his opulences and powers. So here Hanuman has realized, he's acknowledging that Krishna's, and the avatar Krishna, is displaying the summit of opulences and power. All the mercy he has shown me cannot equal even a speck of the mercy he has shown the saintly Pandavas, any more than a molecule of earth can equal Mount Sumeru. So here we have a Hanuman saying that the Pandavas receive more mercy, and then we explain why. By sending poison and many other calamities, one after another, to trouble the Pandavas from their charity, the Lord deliberately showed their determination, religion, fame, wisdom, devotion, and ecstatic love. He acted as their servant, advisor, messenger, charioteer, and court attendant. He kept watch for them at night, followed them on processions, and even offered them praise and obeisances. Out of his affectionate concern for them, what would the Lord not do? He was seen taking the combined roles of their servant, companion, dearmost friend, and they took the same roles for him. Because the Lord resides constantly with the Pandavas, their capital city has become like a sacred forest where great sages perform austerities, and residing in that city awards one the same pious benefits as performing austere acts of penance. Sri Hanuman said, all the calamities that befell the Pandavas were most auspicious and desirable, because those calamities made the personality of Godhead anxious to join the Pandavas quickly. So we see the difference. Hanuman thinking, I was worshipping and serving Lord Ram. Lord Ram has gone to the spiritual world and left me there. And now the Pandavas, they are actually receiving the darshan of the Lord on an almost daily basis. Because, why? Because of the calamities. And the calamities, they glorify the Pandavas. The Lord likes to glorify his devotees, and to do so, he puts them under different difficulty, and that shows how wonderful his devotees are. Yes, Prabhupada. Yes, Hold on a second, I'll look at mine.
Hanuman, as a devotee of the Supreme Lord, the Ramacharya, he is also, you could say, in the same way as Krishna regards his devotee, in a very common position. His devotee is greater than him.
And yes.
Self-position.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, so the Adi Purana, Yemi Bhaktasana Paka, Mami Bhaktasana Tanaha, Mabhaktanam Chate Bhaktasana Bhaktasana Mataha. Those who say they are my devotee are not my devotee. Those who say they are devotee of my devotee, they are my real devotee. So Krishna here is saying that if you want to get special mercy of him, if you want to be considered the real devotee of Krishna, then you should be the devotee of the devotee. So that's a very nice point. And within the context of Ram, Leela, Hanuman is very, very important. Thank you very much.
So, I'll carry on with the next one. Anyway, so
Narada Muni visits the Pandavas. Pandavas, they also say, well, we're not the real recipients of the Lord's mercy. Why? Because they're living in Ashton of God. There's Krishna's in Dwarka. So the Pandavas send Narayana to the Yadavas. So then they then they discuss what he pushed in Dwarka. As we know, when Krishna's in Dwarka, sometimes what happens? He starts talking about the gopis, and he's sleeping at night. The queens notice that these other persons he's talking about. And they understand that actually Krishna's heart is in Vrindavan. So the others, they send Narayana to Vrindavan, and then the, this part of the Vrindavan, it culminates in the understanding that the highest love is the love of the gopis for Krishna. So the greatest devotee, Narayana's, his search was who is the greatest devotee, who is the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy, and the answer is the gopis. So that's, therefore, that's what I thought of when I read, even a temple of Hanuman near the Vrindaji temple in Vrindavan. Because we understand Vrindavan is that special place where we place on a very high platform the worship of the gopis of Krishna. So let's talk about Sakshigopal. This is a wonderful pastime. So the story goes there were two brahmanas, an older brahmana and a younger one, and they were on pilgrimage together. And they reached Vrindavan, and by this time, the older Brahmin was so indebted to the younger Brahmin that he felt inspired, and he said, I wish to give you my daughter in marriage. Now the younger Brahmin, he said, but actually you're coming from a more aristocratic family, you're wealthier, you're more educated, this isn't appropriate. And the older Brahmin said, no, I feel inspired to do this. You served me so nicely, I want to do it. The younger Brahmin said, well, you may agree to that, but your family won't agree and there'll be problems. And the older Brahmin said, it's not their business, I made my decision and I wish to go with it. So the younger Brahmin said, okay, if that's what you want, then please make a promise, make this promise before the Gopal deity. So the older Brahmin did, he made the promise before the Gopal deity that he would give himself to the younger Brahmin. At that time, the younger Brahmin said, and he said to Gopal, I will call you as a witness if there's any trouble with you. Because he could feel this isn't going to work out. So what happens? They carry on their pilgrimage and they go back to where they came from, which is Vijayanagara. And not surprisingly, family were mortified at the thought that this low-class Brahmin was going to marry the daughter of the high-class Brahmin. And actually, some of the family members even threatened to, if you go ahead with this, then we will drink poison. Now, the older Brahmin, he's had a dilemma, because he wants to be truthful. At the same time, he doesn't want his family members to kill themselves. So he has a dilemma. Now, the Brahmana's son, he's an atheist. And he's very inimical to the younger Brahmin. He doesn't like the idea at all. So what he does, he tells the older Brahmin, look, I know you don't want to tell lies, but just say you can't remember what you said, and I'll do the rest. So when the younger Brahmin came and said, you have promised your daughter, and you've not spoken anything, please tell me what you're thinking. The older Brahmin said, I can't remember what I said. And at that time, the Brahmin's son, a very atheistic one, mean-spirited, he took a stick and he chased away the younger Brahmin. And he concocted a story. He said, this young Brahmana, he gave some drug to my father, bewildered him, stole his money, and now he's claiming that he's given his daughter to this person. It is simply all lies. So the young Brahmana, he was very mortified by this. So there was a discussion amongst them. And the older Brahmana, of course, he didn't want to lose his religious principles, so he wanted to actually give his daughter. And you can see the problem, that his family members to be, you know, so upset. So now an agreement was made. They agreed that, well, we'll go to Sakshigopal, sorry, not the one of Sakshigopal at the time, we'll go back to the Gopal deity, and he bears witness, and the problem solved. So the young Brahmin, he then goes back to Vrindavan to appeal to Gopal deity. Now this arrangement was good for everyone. The atheistic Brahmana, he thought, the son of the older Brahmana, he thought, that's a great And he's like, the baby's not going to testify, it's so far away. And the older brother is thinking, this is a very good arrangement because then I'll be off the hook, you see. I won't have to carry on my own, you see. So when the young brother comes, he then goes before the Gopal Deity and asks him, please you be a witness. And he says to him, even if you appear in your forearm form, the villagers at Vijayanagara, they won't believe you. You must come in this form of Gopal. And the Gopal Deity said, I can't come, you know. No, exactly. Babies don't walk. And then the young Brahmin, he goes, Pratimad nahi tumi, saksha rajendra nandana. You're not a statue, you're directly rajendra nandana, Krishna, you see. So Gopal Devi, he agrees, but he says, on the condition that you cook 1 kilogram of rice and offer it to me every day. And also, never turn around and look at me. If you do, I will stop walking. So they said that this walk took 100 days. So for 100 days, this young Brahmin is walking back to Vijayanagara. You know, you can't jump up the in those days. He's walking back to Vijayanagara, and you hear the ankle bells of Krishna. And he's cooking rice every day. And he gets closer and closer to Vijayanagara. And just when he gets to the village, he turns around and beholds the beautiful form of Gopalji. Gopalji says, okay, now that you've looked around, I'm not moving from this spot. So Gopalji remained at that spot. And what happened? The villagers came out, and Gopal, he testified. He said, yes, this young Brahmin is speaking the truth. The Brahmin married the daughter of the older Brahmin. And it said that later on, a magnificent temple was built there. And because the king got to hear the story, and so many people were coming to visit him, taking darshan of Gopalji Devi. And the king arranged for this wonderful temple built there. That's at Vijayanagara. And that's not the end of the story. There's another devotee king called Purushottam Dev. He was a great devotee, and Gopal felt very obliged to him. So this king requested, he actually conquered the region. He then requested that Gopalji reside in Cuttack, which is near Jagannathpuri. So then that's when Shakti Gopal Devi moved to the very close to Jagannathpuri. So who here has been to the Shakti Gopal temple? Anyone who goes to Jagannathpuri, then it's definitely a stop. It's very close. No one else been? Yes, thank you. So you can get the, yes, wonderful. It's a wonderful temple. And so that's the story. So there's a few things we can learn from this. It's said in the Padma Purana, Archivishna Shivadi, Dashivana Iti Saha. If you think the deity is a piece of stone, then you are called Naraki, which means you are hellish consciousness. You consider it already to be resigned in the incarnate. So our approach to the deity is, well, back to Nottaka, there's various 3 levels of consciousness. We see the deity as stone is the lowest level. To understand that the deity has perception, that's a higher one. If you have this consciousness, then when you enter the temple room, you're thinking, I'm coming before the deities, and you're conscious of your behavior, because you know that the deities are seeing us. And it said that we should come before the deities so that they can see us, not that we should go to see them. They say then, in the Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he described Drishya, Drashta, and Darshan. He describes 3 things. It's part of a philosophy known as Dik, Drishya, Vichar. So what does that mean? It means that Krishna is the seer and we are the seen. We have to understand that due to our conditioned senses, our imperfect senses, we're not able to see properly, whereas Krishna, he sees everything properly. Therefore, when we come before Krishna, what's actually happening is Krishna is seeing us. And if he does see us, he casts his merciful glance upon us, then we will have the vision to see that this is Shakshat Rajendranandana. And that is the topmost vision. I mentioned that back to the Nottaka discusses 3 types of vision. The topmost is, when you see Krishna, you see Satchitananda Vigraha. Satchitananda, eternal bliss, knowledge, and eternity. So that is our goal. We don't see statues, but I think many of us are on this kind of middle platform. We don't see them as stone, we don't treat them as stone. We have very much respect for them, and we feel all in reverence. We also feel we have to behave very strictly in front of them. We have this kind of mood about But maybe we're not seeing them as Sachin and Ananda. Maybe we're not actually seeing them as non-different from Krishna. See? I mean, the Aries can talk. This is the example of this young Brahman. He can actually have a conversation with a Goka. So in the scriptures there are a few examples of how the Aries can interact. And we have Ananda, just a boy offering, offering Goga to the deity, and the deity starts talking. And the boy's thinking, well, you're not eating. My father told me that when you eat, and you're not eating, so then the deity connects. Of course, the father later on said, where is the son? And I'm hungry. And of course, he watched the son offer again, and he saw, and actually the deity was taking. So that's very high platform. So that's the goal we have, that we should then, because deity worship is one of the five most important mandas. And it's very, Prabhupada would say this is a high service, when you're actually directly interacting with the Lord and directly serving the Lord. I'll give you another bit opposite example. This is spoken by Smara Hari Prabhu in Scotland, who's now, I think, living in Vrindavan. One time he was in Vrindavan and there was a preaching project being organized. And Prabhupada was like, why are you not giving men talks for this preaching project? And he pointed to one person, one devotee, and said, why can't he join the preaching? He was, well, lead him for Pujari. And Prabhupada said, Pujari is fifth class service, preaching is first class. And we should actually be very careful if you take this the wrong way, you can actually damage your spiritual life. But what Prabhupada said, he's saying, spreading the mission. Tabyanti Lokatabena, Sadavatrai Shojanaha, Karmananda, Paramaradhanantati, Purusha Shakyalatmanaha. The very highest form of worship of the Lord is to undergo austerities for the sake of people in general. Yeah. So that's a famous verse from the 8th canto, and it's in connection with Lord Shiva, who drank the poison. He's a very magnanimous person, so he drank poison to save us. In the same way, a very elevated soul, that Srila Prabhupada, goes to so much trouble to spread Krishna consciousness to help us. So that's called Tabyanti Lokatapena. It means undergoing austerity, Tabyanti, and Lokatapena, because of recognizing the suffering of people in general and wanting to help to alleviate that suffering. The compassion of Srila Prabhupada, Lokatapena, means because of his crossing the ocean was suffering, he felt for it. So there's one wonderful devotee, Mula Prakriti, Prabhupada disciple, left the body. But she did a wonderful service. She went back to India and she interviewed so many people that knew Srila Prabhupada. And from one of those interviews, a wonderful story appears of how Prabhupada, he was crying. He was like, in the sweeping courtyard and at the Samadhi of Buddha's family, he'd be crying. And he'd have dreams. And one of those dreams, he obviously told this to someone because it came to the attention of Mother Prakriti. He had the dream that he's thinking, I have to go to the West to fulfill the order of my spiritual masters, and it's such a difficult thing to do, I don't know how to do it. And he had this dream, and the fact is that Saraswati, I believe, came to him in the dream, either way, he said, it's already arranged for you to go. All you have to do is just go there, we'll take care of everything. And he said, there are the people in the West, they're already there crying. They're lost and they're crying for help. So there's like some arrangement that's already made, that the suffering of the Westerners, they're bewildered. They didn't have any proper religious system that they could follow. Many of them were disillusioned. Christianity was failing many of them. But in their hearts, they were feeling that desperate need for deliverance, to know the absolute truth. So that divine arrangement was then made. So that was just at that time, Prabhupada, he just took courage and just went for it, and everything just opened up, and finally managed to get to the West, and the rest is history, as you say. Mm-hmm. Then we have a big blooming Hare Krishna movement. It's all due to the mercy, the courage of Srila Prabhupada, the compassion of him, and the divine arrangement. So these are some of the points that I was thinking of. Any other comments or questions? I will carry I was speaking to them. I don't want to end too soon because Prasad says at 9 o'clock. But we have some Yurabhantikanga Guru, we have Paramakanda Guru. Get a mic. Hare Krishna.
Clarification in terms of respecting demigods, devotees, advanced devotees like Hanuman, and worshipping advanced devotees like Guru.
Like what?
Guru.
Okay.
Like, maybe that needs a little bit of kind of discussion or bit more.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that's a distinct question, and I'm presuming the reason you're asking it is because worship of Guru, but not worship of any of us, is like almost like a contradiction.
Yeah. Sometimes, like you, so senior devotee, you offer our respect, but when it comes to demigod, you're reluctant.
Yes.
You know, like senior devotee,
yes. And if this brings to mind Sarva Deva Mayo Hari, the Guru is like the embodiment of all the individuals. Was it Acharya? What's the name of that person? Acharya Ramba Janyam, Adamani Navamani Takamji. The March of Buddha, Sri Yata, I think it's better to remember that it's better to everyone else. But I think it's a maybe someone with a phone can check out. Acharya. So, we understand that the Guru, the post of Guru is so exalted, the Guru represents all the demigods manifest in the Guru. So the post of Guru is so high that when we worship the Guru, we're actually automatically understanding that the Guru is on a platform that's in one sense higher than demigods, because the Guru is embodying all the demigods, and the Guru is teaching pure devotional service, where it's said, Ajanti ye yata devam deva api tatai yatam chaiva karma sachiva sarabodhina vatsava. Then the canto says, demigods, they reciprocate how we worship them. They are attendants of karma. Chaiva sachi karma sachiva. They are attendants of karma, meaning that just like a child in the shadow, just like a shadow moves, isn't really independent of the object. In the same way, the boons that the demigods give, it just totally reflects the degree by which we worship them. So it's a business transaction. So the last line of this verse says, Sadhu Dina Vatsalaha. But the Sadhu Dina Vatsalaha gives the mercy, gives the mercy of Krishna. It's free. Ramani Yadahadi Pintu Tattivajan. The whole karmic law is cast aside, and this Krishna's mercy comes through the Guru. So when the Guru's worth more than the demigods, the demigods do business with the Guru, gives mercy, causes mercy for all of time and on Krishna. In that sense, the Guru is higher. But in regard to Hanuman, of course we worship Hanuman, because we have Hanuman, Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman. He's there with the Master, Lord Ram. So very much worship of Hanuman is very much part of our process of understanding the connection with Lord Ram. But when the temple are separate, when you've got a Hanuman temple, and you're just worshiping Hanuman separately, then it creates the mentality that maybe Hanuman is God, Hanuman is a highest kind of thing. And that's different. So that type of worship we're not in favor of. And that's how I would answer the question of why would we worship the Guru but not worship the demigods? Because the tendency is to see the demigods as independent of Krishna, which is bad for our devotional service. So as Vaishnavas, we don't get to set that example. But, of course, within ourselves, we will and we can worship the demigods as a service of Krishna. And therefore, it's not that we don't worship the demigods, but we just don't need a procedure out of it because we don't want to mislead people. And we don't even want to be the Lord of ourselves. That's how I look at it. I got that. If anyone's got any realization on that, please. Okay, I'm sure he's got a question. Is it connected or not?
No, it's more of a
Okay, we'll do that stronger first then. Thank you.
Thank you for the class.
Thank you.
It's very, very inspiring. My question is basically, again, the God of Hanuman is worshipped. He traveled across India, even at many sites of pilgrimage outside of the empire of Varsha as such. He worshipped the mountain god.
Yeah.
And there are many instances that this can be through by this design. So my question is, just like, for instance, Krishna to Avatari, and ultimately getting Avatar is just some kind of, it's expansion of Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can even understand that Hanuman is an incarnation, there are different references saying that he makes incarnation with Parvati and Shiva. So why you don't, let's say, incorporate Shiva worship, and that will kind of encapsulate Hanuman's worship. I don't know if that makes sense. And also, in connection with these previous points, why he's so much spread as a worshipful entity across India? What is somehow the mood behind it? What is that he wants to achieve by the worship of
India? The Hanuman worship is so popular, and I can't actually answer that question, what it is particularly that attracts people. Really, it's the fact that he's a monkey, he's part of it. It's just very attractive, he's a monkey warrior. But obviously because of Ramayana is so popular, you know, and he's such a wonderful servant of Lord Ram. So that seems to be why he's so popular in his form of worship. You mentioned why not incorporate Shiva worship. It's interesting, you know, I mentioned the Brihad Bhagavatam. So one of the offences to the holy name is to consider names of demigods that love Shiva and Adama to be equal to the independent of the name of Vishnu. So in Sanskrit, the term is Diya Vina. It means to have the consciousness that they are separate as an independent entities. That's an offence, and because it's such a severe offence, we don't want to have anything to do with that. Therefore, if we do engage in worship of Lord Shiva, it might encourage this offence. But here's an interesting point. When you look at Sanskrit, diyabhina, if we've broken down as seen as different, or if we've broken down as diyabhina, meaning seen as the same. So if you see Shiva as different, it's an offence. If you see Shiva as the same, it's a different offence as well. So the idea there is Shiva is the devotee of Krishna. Therefore, if you disrespect Krishna's devotee, that's a nama-parad. Therefore, you shouldn't consider Shiva to be Lord. You consider him to be a devotee. You mentioned, as Trilogy of Guru mentioned, the devotee is more dear to the Lord than himself. Right? So it's not only an offense to see Shiva as on an equal platform, you know, Krishna's different from Swami, that's an offense. But it's also an offense to disrespect Lord Shiva because he's a devotee. So, ultimately, why do we not incorporate it? I'm just going with what Prabhupada gave us, and it seems to me that the predominant view is Krishna's true Bhagavan Swayam. We're not even going to go anywhere. When it comes to worshipping devotees, we're going to be very, very careful that we don't spread the wrong message. Therefore, we just don't think to do it. The Guru, we worship the Guru, of course, but devotees, we tend not to be doing that. That's how I would. Then we'll do a closing afterwards. He's on the way. Thank you.
I think I was thinking about the question when Chandra had asked about why the God is so popular.
Yeah.
So, what the reason is because Rama is very widely spoken and taught in the north of India. And Hanuman says great things is for somebody who is not like full time in spiritual life. But they want strength, they want like effectiveness, not to affect them. So it's like very simple, like, okay, we just take care of the mountain, they protect you all the time. So it's like, for a pseudo spiritualist, like, to just, you know,
yes,
get them into the as fit as possible. So that's one of the reasons. My question was regarding, you haven't passed down Bhagavatam, as you mentioned, when you have the general of the devotion,
yes,
and the point comes out. And all the demigods are wandering around, they're all scared, they're all, you know, looking outside the world, and then they even go to the Lord, saying that please save us. And in that past time, actually, somebody called and said, oh, you must go and take Shandra of Shiva. So I would have asked you, like, what is that? Because the Supreme Lord can actually commit that, but there is there anything to take Shandra
of Shiva? Off the top of my head, I don't remember all the purpose of staying as part of the Bhagavatam, but it's obvious that there's some various people in inspiration at the same time. One of them is the Lord loves to glorify his devotees. Well, the Prabhupada specifically says that in connection with Bali Maharaj, where he says, you know, the special mercy, the Lord shows special mercy and takes everything away. But even more merciful is he showers his devotee with offerings, because the devotee can handle it, won't be intoxicated by it. So Bali Maharaj has got the whole kingdom, and the Lord becomes the doorkeeper to Bali Maharaj. So this is an example of the Lord wants to glorify his devotees. So in the case of Lord Shiva, you know, is it the case that Krishna wants to glorify Lord Shiva, so he gives this difficult task just to show how powerful and how compassionate Lord Shiva is? Might be one of the reasons. And the Puranas, you know, are full of examples where sometimes, you know, Indra appears to be higher than Krishna or Surya or Shiva, so many examples like that. But understood properly, understand that Krishna, he likes to glorify his devotees. That's the ultimate, tattva, siddhanti, kuna ekri, bhagavan, Krishna. There's only one bhagavan, it's Krishna, that's the siddhanti. There's all the Puranas, and you see so many different things. There's one verse to describe that, but the different Puranas may say one God is supreme, another God is supreme. But when you look at Siddhanta, Vishnu is the supreme. Thank you. Prayer to the group.
You mentioned about the showing of the wrong side. I remember seeing that in the other day.
Okay.
They told us to worship the Lord Shiva on the wrong side, but also as a comment that sometimes out of respect the congregation, the can't here.
Yes.
And Mother Kalamya, she said, what happens when that happens to you? She said, what she does, she just thinks of Prabhupada, and then it's passed on. She just thinks.
Yeah.
But it says, it's just some sort of respect. But internally, she sees it as actually it's Prabhupada.
Wonderful.
So, just thought that it could be quite often. So if somebody, you know, because of someone else is trying to touch me.
One time we asked Prabhupada to start swimming, go touching his feet. Prabhupada said, that's why I give blessing, I touch the head and bring them back. I come. You know, in practice and satisfied, he wouldn't let anyone touch his feet. And then when he defeated the caste Brahmins in this big debate, there was a rush to touch his feet. It was a crowd disturbance. So the law enforcement officers, they forcibly picked up Captain Sarasvati, washed his feet, and distributed the water in buckets, just to stop the social unrest and all like this. And that everyone just diving for his feet and realized how exalted he was. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Anyone else want to question? Thank you all very much for your patience. Ram Swaraj, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki
Jai,
Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai,
Vitaya Gaura Premanandini
Jai.